The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moye, and we have got an outstanding program for you. Last week, we talked a little bit about Tiger Woods, and we really didn't get into the gossip mill. What we wanted to do at that point in time was really wish him and his family well and trying to repair their relationships. But I did promise you that this week I would come back and talk about dollars and cents surrounding Tiger. And so tonight, our program is called Tigernomics. And the question is Tiger too big to fail? You know, we're going to look at the brand machine behind the man. We're going to look at the fallout, the shakeup. We're going to talk about some repositioning of this machine and see exactly what we can almost suspect may happen as we go forward. Now, you know, I took a look at a lot of noise out there in the media, because everybody is trying to sell some cover that deals with Tiger. And the New Yorker branded him a cheat. Now, there's no sense that he used steroids, but again, the word cheat is a resounding word, particularly to the common person out there. Accenture dropped him as a spokesperson and said Tiger doesn't represent the person we want behind our brand. Well, again, that's more of a, person-to-person kind of thing, because Accenture is a service. And that's a service that, you know, when you're talking about people who do business with, you want to do business with people who you trust. So that's sort of a play on that. Psychologists said he's a sex addict. And a lot of them have disputed that and said that's just an excuse. But Jack Nicklaus said that Tiger's alleged affairs are none of our business. He's still a great golfer, and he's never seen such a swing of anybody put together as Tiger. Now, the golf industry is in shock as Tiger announces an indefinite break from golf to work on being a better father, a better husband, and a better person. Novel idea, isn't it? That somebody would want to take a break to do that. That in fact that he wants to get away from the cheers, the sneers, and everything he's experienced for this last decade just to be a normal person. Wow. What a feat. TV networks already know what that means without Tiger, a recession in the golf industry and reduced TV revenues in an industry that's already suffering and losing converts. Now, folks, Tiger represents a $100 billion marketing machine for fellow golfers who have not seen the likes of the purses that they are making on the golf course today. Advertisers who've seen their advertisement increase 400-fold. Product hawkers, just the mention of Tiger Woods sells their product. Even a simulation of making any type of example or making any reference to it indirectly actually sells the product. The PGA, we've seen the salary of the commissioner going from something like $1.5 million to $5 million. And the world golf industry, Dubai just spent almost close to $20 billion to build a Tiger Woods golf empire. And tonight, folks, we're going to make sense of all of this, and we're going to talk about whether a Tiger's too big to fail, and if, in fact, that it's time to save the Tiger. Tonight, my guests are Beth Pry, mental golf coach from MindLinksGolf.com, Dr. Mark Austin, medical doctor, psychologist, life coach, and business advisor, And I want to welcome my panel to the show tonight. Welcome, guys.
Thank you
so much,
Ida.
Glad to be aboard, Ida.
Well, you know, guys, you know, I'm going to just read something to you because I think it was really interesting. I was looking at the Business Insider. And, of course, Henry Blackett, he has a really nice blog that he runs. And I read a lot of books that he writes. And he usually is on point. And he just put this big thing up, well done, Tiger, you're home free. You know, he figured, okay, two critical events, you know, please drop the investigation. And he made a confession. So now that we've finished all that, then the show is over. And Tiger's going to disappear. In about maybe 6 or 7 months, he'll come back around and he'll win some tournaments and everybody will forget the crisis. But I think the thing that I think that's remiss from this is that before that you can actually be home free, you got to understand exactly what happened. And I think that's what people are saying. And the difference between the average athlete out there is that Tiger actually appealed to the casual person versus, say, for instance, the high-end golfer. And that's kind of hard to replace because the standards that they hold you to is a little bit different than, say, maybe someone else that, you know, they group together. Tiger was more like a household word that when you said Tiger, that meant image, that meant how you want to raise your children. It meant a lot of various different things that is beyond just being an athlete. But the big question becomes is, Beth, why did he do it?
Why did he do it? Well, number one, I mean, I can only speculate and go on what my experience and my education would tell me. But I would say one of the reasons why he did it is because he could. He had the availability, and part of, as we know with Tiger, nothing is too much for him. He can attain anything that he wants. He's proven that in the world of golf, and I'm sure that that transferred over to his into his personal life, into who he is completely. And another thought that I would put out there of why he may have done it is to be the level of athlete that he is, involves a lot of risk and involves a lot of, as I might call it, envelope pushing the envelope to the brink. And perhaps he just got bored. He has been playing at such a high level for such a long time, and there's such a thrill associated with that. And I would say that he was searching for another thrill and found it in having affairs, as we have heard he is alleged to have done. And he just kept doing it more and more as he pushed the envelope farther and farther to see how far he might be able to take it. And that might be the true essence of someone who has an addiction, is that they keep pushing the envelope and don't have the capacity or the ability or the wherewithal or even the insight to stop their behaviors.
So let's just talk about that. You think Tiger cheated because, number one, he's rich, because he has the fame, he has the power. What about all that weightlifting? Because he's a guy? Or you're saying it was because it was money? He had the wealthy people praise stimulus,
really,
right?
I don't really
so
think
what you're
it.
Saying?
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Yeah, wealthy people generally crave stimulus. This is what is usually what people hear a lot about, and it's like an adrenaline junkie sometimes. And like you said, with the pursuit of happiness for them, sometimes it's more interesting than the happiness. In other words, the pursuit of it is actually more important than the actual receiving it. So maybe after he got everything, he got all his trinkets, he got his beautiful wife, his two kids, he got his, you know, all his baubles, you know, his yacht, his cars, his houses, his records and all that, he just got bored. And he didn't have a challenge. Now, I want to go back to that thought, because his father said, when people talked about that years ago, they said, well, what Tiger needs is he needs a second person pushing him. His father disputed that. He said what is pushing him is history. But, again, going back to this concept of him being a cheater, you know, most studies have shown that wealthy women cheat more than the wealthy men do. And so that's one aspect of it. But Tiger is basically not just any individual. We're talking about the greatest golfer in the world, right?
Yes.
And we're talking about probably one of the greatest athletes to probably ever live so far.
I'd agree.
In terms
absolutely.
Of his accomplishments, right?
Absolutely.
So I can imagine that him getting bored is probably part of that equation. Do you think it's right to brand him a cheater, or what would you call him?
Well, you know, the way I'd like to answer that, Ida, is if you take a person, another person, maybe just an average person, you know, that has a normal career or what have you, and they, for whatever reason, start using some other substance, maybe not cheating, but maybe they're using alcohol or drugs. Are they a drinker? Are they a druggie because they're using drugs? Or could we consider that the drugs or alcohol, or in this case, women, are just the form in which he is distracting himself or trying to find a thrill that he didn't find in other ways or as we said, kind of got bored with? So I would not say that he's a cheater. I would say that he's a person that was very misdirected and got caught up in all of his behavior. That's what I would say.
Now, it's very interesting because what bothered me recently was seeing him in pictures with people that had history of having issues. Michael Jordan, of course, with the gambling, and then Charles Barkley with the drinking. They had seemed to become very good bosom buddies, and they were with him at his wedding and all of that, and there were some very famous faces there, but those were two prominent faces, and Charles Barkley just came out and said Tiger changed his phone number, so there are no more phone numbers that even they can reach him. So it sounds like he's made a demarcation line or firewall between his past life now and have decided that it's time to cut that off. Now, that's obviously the first step in terms of repairing himself, I'm sure, in that regard. But I want to go back and Dr. Mark, I want to bring you in here. And, you know, the road to high performance isn't always paved. Sometimes it runs straight into a fire hydrant. That was one of the statements that was made. It was a joke. But I'm going to come back with that, and I want to talk specifically about that and get your take on that in terms of the road to high performance, what's involved in that. This is Ida Moyer, your host. You listen to the Sports Maverick Show.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Want to talk about both professional and amateur sports? It's time to talk with someone who has experience on the field. You'll get the player's perspective and a chance to share your own. It's the Next Icon Radio Show, featuring host Fred Barnett, formerly with the Philadelphia Eagles and Miami Dolphins. We'll talk about current events and situations surrounding the pro and amateur sports world. You'll learn about the next icons on the Next Icon Radio Show with Fred Barnett, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and our subject tonight is Tigernomics. And we're asking whether or not the man behind the brand is too big to fail. And in the studios with us tonight is Beth Pry. She's mental golf coach from MindLinksGolf.com. And we have with us also an esteemed Dr. Mark Golston, and he is here with us, and he is a business advisor, life coach, psychologist, and MD, and he's with us tonight to help us make sense out of all of this brand as well as the business aspect. I want to welcome you two back to the show.
Glad to be aboard, Ida.
Thank you. Now, Doctor, when we were talking at the break, I talked about the road to high performance isn't always paved. And that was Accenture's, that was their actual statement they used for Tiger in terms of their tagline. But lately, of course, everybody's saying sometimes it runs straight into a fire hydrant. Now, that's a joke about Tiger. But Woods has been the best paid athlete in the world for almost a decade. And much of that has come from endorsements. ESPN One estimate that his lifetime earnings as an athlete in the world, probably in almost a decade or much of that will be from, you know, it's coming from endorsements, but estimated it could be as much as $6 billion. Now, when this scandal erupted, you know, journalists and brand marketing experts alike insisted that it would have a little impact on his advertising appeal. His sponsors, Nike, is sticking by them. Gillette is sticking by him. Gatorade said that they had already had problems with their focus drink, and therefore they were dropping it. And they had made that decision long before this incident happened. But the drink was called Focus. I guess they felt that, you know, since Tiger was out last year and just returning, that in fact the drink had suffered from that. Now, the problem isn't a question of his morals, exactly. It's a huge gap that has opened up between his advertising persona and his public image itself. So as these new revelations come out, you know, it seems that the biggest career in sports is being reshaped before our eyes here. Now, I mean, we look at Arnold Palmer, who, you know, Mark McCormick really invented this athlete brand. And then you have people like Michael Jordan that took the endorsement to another level here, you know, with Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and Hanes, and, you know, and all of that. And then, of course, Tiger really amped it up. And you saw where, in fact, that we've never seen the likes of the type of monies and the type of image that he has endured. But, again, my question is, did Tiger set himself up for a failure by the image, you know, his certain persona, you know, his mental toughness, you know, capacity for focus and discipline, and, you know, never cracking under pressure? And, I mean, again, these are the things that people are saying. That's why this has had such an impact, because everyone sort of embodied Tiger Woods as this person that was almost like, you know, dedicated, hard work, single-minded. And now that's changing. And now they're being distracted now. Is he being distracted? So, Doctor, what do you think the impact will be on this? What do you think the fallout's going to be on this?
Well, I think it's going to be potentially huge. I think something that he has not reckoned is what the effect of going from very, very private and very well-managed privacy now to being publicly leered at and looked at and stared at and being the subject of people's runaway imaginations. And something that happens with a lot of people, and I think it's more often with men than women, although unfortunately women are catching up, is that often people who are very goal-driven develop kind of a split in their personality between their private persona and their public persona. And often that split becomes huge, and they live separate lives. And I think what we're discovering, sadly, is that the more powerful people are, you know, the higher they go, the harder they fall. And I think what's upsetting all of us is a great sense of betrayal. You know, we're just losing anyone that we can believe in. And you almost, and I think he represented someone that hopefully was safe to believe in. And now what's happening is here is someone that we thought was beyond disappointment disappointing us. And I think, as you mentioned before the break, we don't see him as a golfer. We see him as just a, certainly probably the preeminent athlete of his time. Some would even say the best athlete who ever lived, because he's just out there on his own and his performance was just so stellar for so many years. And so I think the potential fallout is huge, because I don't think he has any idea of what it's like for that very private part of him that he managed so well now to be kind of public property. So I don't think there are many evil people in the world. I think there's many flawed people, and I hope, and I believe he is not evil. I believe he is deeply flawed, like most of us, and I hope he can get past that. But I think one of his greatest accomplishments, right up there with his golf accomplishments, and I'd want both of you to weigh in if you think so, is how he managed for so long to keep this private. It is unbelievable.
Well, I think Beth kind of alluded to it. I mean, when you have the money and the wherewithal, and you have the persona of secrecy, and you have veils of secrecy and layers of it, I mean, it's nothing for you to be in one city in 1 hour and 3 hours later be in another city. And I work a lot with agents, large agents. You know, they come on the show and they talk to me. And it's not unusual to talk to them in the morning and they're on their way to see one player play. And then by the afternoon, they're in another city to see another player play. And then they're on to Monday night football, for instance, you know, Sunday night. So, again, the ability of transportation and the ability to move at a moment's notice, that's what he's been doing anywhere on tours. So I'm assuming that there was a lot of secrecy, there was a lot of carefulness, there was a lot of people, a lot of handlers that were behind all this, because, and at the same time, the question becomes, how did he keep it from his wife so long? That's the bigger question, you know, because wives usually feel things and know things, and to have kept that from his wife so long. But, you know, clearly the current scandal has disrupted it. It's not shattered it, but the image of perfect control. Now, scandals aren't out of tune with the celebrity images because, I mean, look at Kate Moss, who snorted coke, surfaced, and they stopped her bookings over time, but then they went up again. And then Michael Jordan, who lost hundreds of thousands of dollars gambling, barely dented his appeal. And what he did is that he just sort of changed his persona a little bit. And at the same time, but I think what's going to be hard here is, and where people can't connect the dots is that the image of the type of women that Tiger convorted with, Vegas waitresses, celebrity groupies, you know, the sex texts, the voicemails, I mean, his driving his SUV into a tree, his wife allegedly, you know, the image of him possibly being beat up by his wife. I mean, those are some things that, and even though it's speculation, you know, it humanizes Tiger. And it sort of takes the persona away from him. And so the question I have for Beth is, you know, will this weaken him or distract him? And that's going to be the big question, because the sponsors are going to be looking for performance. Okay? Just like when Kobe Bryant came back after his, you know, his off the court, you know, situation. You know, he returned and, you know, he lost a lot of his endorsements, but some of his endorsements came back. So if Woods was returned, say, in April, he wins the Masters, Beth, the extraordinary story, but, you know, would there be any advertising saying be a Tiger anytime soon?
Beth, I think one of the things that he could consider, and again, like I said, I'm speculating here, is in now that he has gone from a very private life that was well managed, as Dr. pointed out, to a very public life, in order to come back, I think there would need to be an element of humility from him. Instead of just pretending like all of this happened, instead of just running away, I get for now he might need to take some space and relook at how he wants to go forward and take a breather. But after he comes back into the public eye, I think a bit of humility would be needed for him to admit that he, other than his short blog that he had on his website of saying his recent transgressions, I think if he were humble about this and then went on to perform at the level that he's been performing, which I think there's no doubt that he will be able to do that he may be able to come back stronger than he was before. I really do think so. I'm sure that we could think of some other celebrities or motivational speakers or other people, and I can think of a few in my head, Wayne Dyer being one of them, and although he's not an athlete, he's someone who has been very, very humble about where he's been. He's been humble about the mistakes that he has made, and all it has done is drawn more people to him. And, you know, unfortunately, as Dr. Mark had pointed out, we are sadly disappointed in because we did look up to Tiger, but maybe here's a lesson for America that there's no perfect human out there. There is no perfect human out there, and with an element of humility and still being able to go on, he may be able to be a better role model than ever before, showing kids, showing young adults that we can do something, be ask for forgiveness, and then come back and actually show how strong we are.
Excellent, excellent, Beth. We're going to come back and we're going to continue this talk about Tigernomics, and this time we're going to talk about Save the Tiger.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field.
Got it! With 2.8 seconds left!
I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. every week on Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show, and we have just had an outstanding discussion going on about Tigernomics. And before the break, Beth Pry with MindLinksGolf.com, she made a very, very important statement. We were talking about what Tiger would have to do to come back, and it would be probably some humility, and no question about that. We know the Tiger cat is out of the bag. We know that. And we think that this incident is probably is going to humanize him more than ever before. And instead of making him a god of a deity here, we're probably going to see somebody who we're going to look at and we're going to respect his ability as a golfer. And that might be what is needed to actually get him to focus on his game and not focus so much on pleasing a lot of people. Now, I think one of the things that was very curious to me, I did a show at Universal Studios this weekend, and there was a young man there with his father. And he said to me, we looked up to Tiger as a role model. And it led me to the thought that perhaps the first person or first group of people that Tiger is going to have to, apologize to is going to be the kids and his foundation, because they were affected. On the other hand, Tiger's persona also was a cross between, I have no racial connection to anybody. I'm just out there. But he did also represent racial conciliation because he transcend sports and also any type of connotations that, you know, certain athletes were not good enough. But I think when you look at this here, you got to kind of examine what Tiger did just this year and who should be worried. The bulk of his $130 million he earned in 2009 came from his corporate America. That's where it came from. And who should be worried if Tiger exits the game? His PGA rivals? Because let's look at it. In 1995, before Woods joined the tour, the top golfer, Greg Norman, earned only $1.7 million, while the number 100-ranked player, Paul Zinger, only earned $182,595. But this year, Tiger earned $20.5 million, and Ted Purdy earned $838,000. The total prize money has gone from $70 million to $275 million. When Tiger wins, there is more money for everybody to go around. So with Tiger not being in the game, you could assume that some of these golfers are probably a little concerned. Let's look at this, the top ratings in the history. The top ratings were Tiger Woods' victory in 2000, 2002, and 2008. Nobody comes closer to them other than the NBA Finals between Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics. Second half of 2008, when Tiger was recovering from knee surgery, he gave kind of a glimpse of the future of the PGA Tour without him, because ratings dropped 55%. Woods might have even been bigger outside the United States, because the purses outside the United States went up $3 million. And then the difference between Tiger and everyone else is that he brought in the casual fans that drove up the ratings and the interest at major golf tournaments. And no one else can touch Tiger with that star power. But the polls are showing that at the time, Tiger was 82% awareness of Tiger and 25% of Phil Mickelson and 16% of John Daly, Sergio Garcia 11%, and Harrington 7%. Now, is that going to change, Beth? Do you think now that there will be a move afoot to make more of these other golfers aware that the game doesn't just, you know, depend on Tiger?
Well, I think everything's going to change because of this. I think that everybody is going to be under a whole new scrutiny than they were under before. So I think that, sure, Tiger, of course, brought more money into the marketplace, but I think it's changed the whole game. That's just my opinion.
So we're going to go from the God deity to, in other words, looking for brands, but sort of this brand image. Maybe what we're looking for is utilizing players for special situations versus this brand deity that they've been going for?
That's what I think. I think it's going to even out the playing field, and people are now going to be looking at the other golfers, and more is everyone together. If we are going to stop looking at Tiger as such a golf deity, which is a great colloquialism for him, then that would mean that he would be more human, as we've been talking about during this whole show. So I would assume that that would put everybody else more on an even playing field, that we're going to be looking at. We would need to look at everybody as individuals now rather than Tiger and the rest of the group. And I think that's mostly how we looked at it, is there's Tiger and then there's all the other golfers. And they were kind of all lumped together.
Well, we know that the PGA needs Tiger. But we really haven't seen a major push by the PGA to put an anchor out there for Tiger. And we've known for a long, long time that Tiger's had some discourse with the PGA because they wanted him to play certain tournaments that he did not agree to play. Now, this timing is horrible for golf, for him to be leaving. And it could, like I said, cause some type of recession for golf. But I applaud Tiger for saying, my family is more important to me than this, and therefore I'm not going to do this. But let's look at the other corollary. Who has really benefited from all of this chaos? Number one is that, like you said, you know, people that will be looked at a little differently may be people like Jimmy Johnson, you know, who Tiger pretended to be at one point in time, Derek Jeter, who's the ultimate winner, you know, in the biggest market right now. Danica Patrick, you know, revolutionary who exudes passion. Dwight Howard, Tim Tebow, Sidney Crosby, you know, people like that who are the captain of the Cup, you know, people like that. In other words, maybe what they'll do is that they'll begin to say, we need to parcel out these dollars a little bit more effectively. And I think that's going to happen here with this. But just to give you an idea, the Internet publications have been going absolutely crazy. And you're looking at something like, for instance, Tiger's website itself went up 48,000 hits on it. Orlando Sentinel, 1.2 million visitors. You know, TMZ went up 50%. Google and Yahoo said that their searches went up 4,000-fold over the last 30 days, and it helped them meet their year-end goals in advertisement. In addition to that, they saw that, in fact, that the traffic has bumped up, you know, and again, by putting salacious advertisements next to Tiger Woods' story, it's selling like crazy. This is one of the advertising junkies said in New York at a meeting. Time Warner, of course, golf.com website, 2.4 million visitors to it. So, again, there are people who are benefiting. The only thing bigger than this was, of course, Michael Jackson. And that stayed strong for a couple of days, and then, of course, that died. But basically, the Internet is really benefiting from this.
You know, I think part of what's I think part of what's fueling it, Ida, is, you know, when we admire someone and put them on a pedestal, underneath all the admiration is envy. There's a dark side to all of us, and envy isn't a pretty emotion. And we keep that in check when we're admiring someone who seems perfect, but I think what happens is when it turns out that they're imperfect, the envy that's underneath the surface is fueling kind of the voyeurism, the rubbernecking that all of us are capable of doing. And I think that's what's driving a lot of the attention on the Internet, is that the part of us that was envious, not just admiring, is now being fueled to find out anything salacious that we can find out about Tiger. And I think what all the attention is doing is it's showing more about who we are than who Tiger is. I mean, Tiger is someone that we put on a pedestal and turned out to be, you know, tremendously flawed. Big deal. All that activity is more revealing of kind of the darker side of all of us.
Well, you know what? I've been around athletes since 1977, and it's an unwritten rule in their lifestyle, and they call it the life. There is a life where there are a certain group of women who go after athletes. This is their life career to do that. And in talking to some of the other golfers, they told me that they're nightclub owners who basically have specific waitresses and particular patrons that they want to cater to. And, of course, someone like a Tiger Woods brought in big dollars to nightclubs and to, you know, various different arenas and things where he was. And so, you know, that is going back to wanting to have a piece of somebody, you know, wanting to own a piece of something. You know, you're less than what you are, but you think if you associate with somebody like this, you're going to be greater. Look at the type of pattern of women who he picked. You know, they're clearly, I'm not these things they're saying I am. Yeah, but the man was married, but everybody knew he was married, but didn't you know that you were having an illicit affair with a man? Yes, but they wanted that piece of him. And, of course, they actually fed into his actual hunger, like Beth said, which is to do something bigger or better and keep you know, raising the bar and raising the bar and raising the bar until you got caught. Now the bar is, now that I've got caught, how can I come back from this? And this has to be one of the biggest things. Because remember, one of the things his father taught him was how to deal with, you know, with adversity. That was one of the things he taught him, to deal with adversity. So he's trained to deal with adversity. Now, this is obviously out of his league, because I don't think Tiger had that much street knowledge. He's been playing since he was 3 years old. And so I think a lot of that fed into some of the reasons why he did get caught. And we're going to come back. We're going to finish this up. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what would the wife do in these situations? And let's talk a little bit about Victoria Beckham and how she handled this situation when the same thing happened to her husband, who was bigger than life than Tiger was. We'll be back in three.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Tune into the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. If you have not been with us at the beginning of the hour, we are talking about Tigernomics, and we've talked about whether or not this brand is too big, you know, to fail. And at the same time, we're talking about who gains from this crisis that he's in and who loses from this crisis. And, of course, we've seen the Internet just go completely, you know, twofold in terms of the hits that they're getting. But at the same time, we're looking at the mental toughness that Tiger has exemplified all these years. And now we're talking about, does mental toughness actually correlate into character building? And one of the things is that, like Tiger, Woods can recover. I do believe that. I think it's going to take time. I think it's doable. Time is a great healer. Beckham was the only one that I likened to Woods because he went through pretty much the same thing, and it passed about 9 months. Now he's a superhero again, and he might single-handedly bring the world, you know, a cup to England. But it was in 2004 when allegations about his private affairs came out, and the couple wrote it out together. You know, Beckham has a very strong wife who stood by him. And the circumstance with Tiger might be different, but I think he'll get back on track. I don't think Tiger will ever be able to be as private as he was, though he's got to be more accessible from now on. And so becoming a little bit more real and more humble, as my great guest, Beth Pride, mental golf coach, mindlinksgolf.com, has said. And Beth, I can't thank you enough for all the great contributions that you've made this evening on this subject matter. And I want to just sort of ask you one question here. The time, of course, you know, it will take time to heal. No question about it. It's going to take time to heal. And I think that there's 800 million reasons why Nike will stay with him. Someone said to me they may even give him a bad boy image, you know, because that sells with Nike. But it's clear that, you know, he's the world's number one. He's a father of two. And he has done the right thing by getting out of the public and trying to, you know, fix his relationship. Now, most people predict that that's probably not going to work, that probably after 2 years or so, she's going to divorce him, and she's going to receive about $55 million and probably another $100 million for the children. Now, all that aside, golf teaches you that you have to be strong. And it teaches you that you can't have any distractions. So Tiger is going to have to get rid of all these distractions and maybe even all of this advertisement and all these great things people are expecting of him, maybe they were distractions to him. Maybe he just wanted to get off the train. Is that possible?
Well, I think you hit it on the head, Ida. I'm not sure that all of this that happened is really going to impact his golf game. I think that he has been trained from the get-go since he's been 3 years old, as we've all heard the stories of what Earl would do with him, hitting the soda can and whatnot, all different things that he's done to develop his toughness, to develop his ability to avoid distractions. No matter what happens, we can watch Tiger as he plays golf. He's in his own little world. So I don't know that this is actually going to be something that is going to deter his golf game. After all, he's been having the affairs for how many years, and did that affect his golf game? Not so much. So why would the public eye knowing this be any more of a deterrent than him having to keep the secret all these years? He may actually be even a stronger golfer because he's no longer holding the secret anymore. I mean, how many of us have held a secret and it's been murderous to hold that secret? It's been worse on the secret holder than the person that the secret was kept against. So here he may have a new lease on life, maybe a different way to look at it, but certainly an option worth considering.
Well, and Doctor, I want you to come in and chime in on this because, I mean, you've been clearly out there looking at, various different chaotic situations with, your work with the FBI and hostage negotiations and just getting into people's life. And obviously, this wonderful book that you've written, Just Listen, Discover the Secrets of Getting Through to Absolutely Anyone. I mean, what would you tell Tiger right now? What would you say to him right now?
Well, I would tell him to take the time off and lay low and try and figure things out. And what will happen is the public is kind of fickle. And so you mentioned something, I think, before the break that I thought was really interesting. You know, the need to have someone to look up to like Tiger, when we can no longer do that, it will be interesting if we anoint someone like a Derek Jeter or maybe Kobe Bryant. But that need to have someone to look up to who transcends all of sports, it'll be interesting who fills that. I was also thinking, and I wanted to ask Beth, I think what golf's going to need is they're going to need someone who beats Tiger's records, and I don't know if that's possible, because anyone who wins, if they win but they don't perform as well as Tiger, there's always going to be that sense, well, yeah, they won, but if Tiger was here, too bad he's flawed. He's the real champion. It's kind of like the Rocky Balboa movies, in which subsequent champs in those movies, you know, all suffered from being compared to this paragon of perfection. And so, I think it'll be interesting how it plays out, but I think Tiger needs time off, and a lot of what we've been talking about is what this whole thing says about us, and it'll be interesting what we start to focus on when there's nothing else to find out about him, and then what his comeback will look like.
Well, you know, and I want to sort of like end a little bit on that note and say that one of the things that has happened in marketing of athletes, it's been a handful, the chosen ones. And the same athletes have been marketed over and over and over again. And there are other golfers who have made terrific contributions, but you don't hear too much about them. Likewise, in the NFL, you see your Brady's, you see, you know, your Peyton Manning's. These are the same ones over and over again. You look at basketball, of course. And, you know, you had your Tim Duncans, a little bit more. Kobe won't go away. The bad boy Kobe will not go away. He scores 40 points. Kobe. Kobe scores 50 points. Kobe. So again, folks, what I'm saying tonight is that I believe Tiger will be back. Give him the peace. Give him the privacy. Let's allow him to come back to us and offer him the olive branch, because we are not perfect. And I want to thank my guest tonight, Beth Pry, MindLinkGolf.com. Thank you again, Golf. You're fabulous. Thank you so much for being with us. And, Doctor, I want to thank you so much for the wonderful contribution you have made. And, folks, he's got a couple books out there, Get Out of Your Own Way, Overcoming Self-Defeated Behaviors. He has another one, Get Out of Your Way at Work and Help Others Do the Same. You can get those, of course, at your Amazon.com. And there's another book called Just Listen. And again, thank you both tonight, and it's been a pleasure. And again, you are listening to the Sports Maverick Show. We'll be back next week with another great program, and we thank you so much. And we love you out there. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.